You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
All right, everybody. Yeah.
Popular.
You're gonna be popular.
Oh, all right. Yes, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. We are not popular, but we are giddy about this week's movie review, which is our first Oscar nomination for 2025. And that Oscar nominee is
Wicked, based on the Broadway musical. Yay.
And which now here's my first contention with the film. Based on the Broadway musical, which is based on the book by McGuire, which is based
Scholes? I thought the book was somebody else. You sure? Winnie Holtzman, Dana Fox, and Gregory McGuire. Okay, got it.
McGuire's the author of the novel, and the novel is obviously based off the original public domain Wizard of Oz books. So the problem with the film is that the film says, no, this is not a prequel to the Wizard of Oz movie because we don't have the copyright to that. But in the opening shot, they show the fucking Tin Man.
Dorothy, Tin Man, Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion holding the broom from the Wicked Witch walking towards the Emerald City, which is the end of the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, so you don't get to do that and then, like, tongue-in-cheek, oh, but it's not a prequel. No, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
You just purposely put that in there because, although, I mean, yes, that's in the books too, but the imagery is so, it's so iconic that you don't just do that and laugh it off.
The deal that's made between the Wizard of Oz and, you know, that ragtag clan is bring me the witch's broom. And I'll give you what you want. I'll send you home. I'll give you a heart, give you a brain, give you courage, like all that shit. And that's that shot with them achieving that. The opening of the film shows the Wicked Witch of the East or the West. I don't even fucking remember.
Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. Her hat in a puddle of water.
Right.
Because famously known in The Wizard of Oz, spoiler alert, movies, you know, fucking 86 years old, Dorothy throws a pail of water to help put out the scarecrow because the witch, Wicked Witch of the West, sets him on fire and misses or gets some of the scarecrow, but most of the water hits the witch and she melts. That's the opening of this movie, is the witch's hat in a puddle of water.
The aftermath of that end scene is how this movie starts.
Yeah.
You're right, and then we follow the flying monkeys through a whole thing, and then we get to watch the Munchkins burn an effigy of the witch celebrating her death. We're okay with Munchkins just being normal size now.
There was a thing that was going around that they weren't going to do that. They were just going to make them smaller, but the one Munchkin that's in love with Glinda is taller than her.
Yeah.
By I mean, it just goes to show just how short Ariana Grande is. I think she's only like 5'1 or 5'2 or something.
So we're just going to keep the name, but have normal size, and no one's going to mention it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is Peter Dinklage plays the voice of the professor, the professor, I don't remember his name, the goat.
He does. Oh, you gotta be fucking.
That's
him.
That's Peter Dinklage, and it's interesting because it's if they were gonna go all in with Munchkinland, he would have 100% had a part.
He would have spoke out against it because he spoke out against them doing with Snow White, and then the midget community was like, "Oh yeah, thanks for killing the jobs for us, you fuck." So here he does it with this too. He probably, I'm sure they went to him and said, "Do you think we should do Munchkins short?" And I'm sure he said, "No, of course not." But he still got a fucking paycheck, didn't he? Fuck him.
It's stop.
Sorry.
I know. I like Peter Dinklage.
I didn't need Peter to come up in the conversation. I'm sorry.
I mean, is that why the new Snow White live-action film is all CGI dwarves?
Yes. Yeah, because he spoke out and said that they shouldn't do it, and then they said, okay, we're not doing it. And then the little people were like, what the fuck? there's some others of us act too, Peter. You don't need all the short people roles. I refuse to watch him in a movie just because he's taking movies away from other short people.
Listen, it's not his fault that Hollywood gravitated towards him because of Game of Thrones. I mean,
they gravitated towards him because he's a handsome dwarf. I don't even want to talk about this.
He's from Jersey, man. I love him. He's from Jersey. He's a Jersey boy.
I want to put a friendly disclaimer out that I don't want to shit on this film just because I don't like musicals.
Same. This movie is not made for me. I do not like musicals. I'm not a fan of musicals in general. I think when this movie isn't singing at me, what I saw, I enjoyed.
I've got notes for the storyline, but yeah, I'm with you. If they took out the musical numbers, I wouldn't be so annoyed to watch it. The actual Broadway play is 2 hours and 40 minutes with a 15-minute intermission. This, without an intermission, is the same goddamn length. It's only the first half. I did a little research. They actually lengthened some of this musical numbers so they could include more choreographed dance sequences. It's not the music that gets me so much as the dancing. That's what really irritates me.
Well, dancing usually, accompanies music. So
Not usually. I thought Les Mis did a great job. They didn't dance around like idiots. They just sang.
It's a dramatic, depressing movie. So
yeah.
They were trying to take a more dramatic every time they've done that, I don't know. I haven't seen any of the previous Les Mis. I didn't even see it on Broadway, but I don't believe there's dancing in that as a whole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that you can't enjoy the film because I'm a curmudgeon. I totally get it. If you're a teenage girl or you grew up watching Glee, or you're really into song and dance, I'm sure there's movies for you.
So, but, did you hear it's not really a controversy, it's just that people suck when they go to the movies, that people were singing along to the film while other people were trying to watch it in theaters?
Well, the mistake they made is that they released a sing-along version, but then when you do that, you just kind of make people think, oh, I can just do this whenever I want now.
Well, the sing-along version wasn't released theatrically, was it? Or was it only in select theaters?
Select theaters.
But the majority, because it came out in like 4,000 screens, we'll say like 500 screens was the sing-along version. But everybody else, shut the fuck up, watch the movie, and enjoy it.
Right. Well, then every idiot teenager on TikTok sees the people they're singing in the people theaters. Oh, I'm going to do that too. And they don't bother. There's no context. It says, hey, this is a specific theater where you can sing. It got
to the point where the theaters had to go and make announcements before every showing saying this is not the sing-along version, please enjoy the film, do not sing along with this
is why I don't go to theaters anymore.
I thought that was interesting, that it's just a reminder how much people suck. But
here's my problem from a narrative standpoint. the songs are a waste of time. First of all, they're lazy screenwriting because you're telling instead of showing. Instead of showing me there's a complication, you've got the person singing, "Oh, and this is the complication, and what do I do right now?" Instead of just like having, like, you know. And on top of that, there's not any real information in the damn songs. Look at the song Dancing Through Life with the Prince.
Oh, right.
What's that? The whole library dance routine, that 10-minute cavalcade of music and song. What as the audience did we learn?
Oh, nothing.
The Prince is a bad boy.
Yeah.
That's it. The Prince is a bad boy. Someone could have whispered that and saved 10 minutes of this film. But no, we're not here for the actual story. We're here for the singing and dancing and the flipping.
I mean, it's to be expected. It's based on a Broadway show that does the same thing. So,
it just happens
to be nominated for Best Picture, so we got to review it.
This is just me.
It's what we're dealing with. No, I understand.
Okay.
I mean, so, what would you say of a 2-hour, 40-minute movie about anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes are songs?
Here's something for you.
Something
Holly's
like that.
Actually read the book.
Oh, really?
Yes, my wife read the book. So after I watched the film by myself, because I'm not stupid, I approached her. And what's the first question I asked her, knowing that she has read the book, was, "What the hell's with the talking animals?" You know what her immediate response was?
No. What? There are none?
I know, right?
Oh.
I know, right? Thank you. This is why we got married, because we're on the same wavelength here. What is the point of having the speaking animal holocaust? And how is caging someone make them not understand how to speak? I don't understand the logic between that.
There is none there, unless there's something further that they are going to do that they didn't explain yet. I don't know.
And I understand it's fantasy, it's not supposed to make sense, but I still demand a bit of rationale. Especially, I expect a bit of rationalism or some rational thought, something that makes sense. When you're injecting so many, like, serious issues, it can't just be, this love triangle. It can't be that, because the whole film for me is basically somebody looked up one day and said, "Hey, wouldn't it be cool if Glinda and the Wicked Witch were college roommates?" And
then, that's now, the here's the whole thing. Because, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of The Wizard of Oz. Just like I'm not the biggest fan of Gone with the Wind. Those two movies came out the same year. They're considered masterpieces. Gone with the Wind wins Best Picture. Wizard of Oz was nominated, lost to Gone with the Wind. You know, it's filmed in color. It was a big deal. All that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of this is any of this canon. Is any of this from way back 86 years ago? Did they mention about... I don't know. That's the thing. Is this just made up? Someone said, you know what? Let's make this backstory. Or did somewhere along the line, there's, you know, MGM was like, oh, yeah, you know, they were friends at one point, but we're picking up the story here. You know, I don't know.
Well, one thing I'm trying to avoid, even though I did mention the book, and we have mentioned this came from, it's adapted from the Broadway musical, I don't want to compare it to those because I haven't experienced either of them. I didn't read the book, never watched the musical, so I'm not familiar with it. The film is where my knowledge of the film begins and ends.
Okay.
So I want to kind of keep it a critical review of the film itself. Because I'm ill-equipped to do otherwise.
That's fine. I didn't know if you maybe knew if this is, you know, there's a storyline or data that says certain things of, oh, yeah, this has been known for years. I don't know.
Even if some of the stuff is from the original books or whatever, it doesn't matter. You put it in the film. So, I mean, little things. I did make a few notes. Here's the thing that bothered me. First of all, why does Oz have a Hogwarts? What the fuck is this Harry Potter bullshit? And let's make a vulnerable character.
Merchandising, Spaceballs, the flamethrower. The kids love that one.
I mean,
that's why.
It's. I mean, we stack the cards in the favor of Elphaba by, okay, so she's green. Her father hates her because her father cheated on him. They don't say that, but that's actually what the real reality is there. So she's green, but because of the, even though we're in a fantasy world where everything's insane, green is the one thing that triggers everybody. But on top of that, let's make sure she's stacked and beautiful besides green. So you can really understand why it's not like she's Shrek or anything. But,
right.
And on top of all that, oh, she's also the chosen one and more powerful than anybody in Oz.
The
chosen one. So it's an underdog story, is it? What the fuck is this about? I hate this nonsense. I'm sorry. And also, just on a personal level, like the comedy that supposedly comes from them watching her ostracized by her peers, for anybody that actually did deal with that in their childhood, this film's a fucking insult. I just want to underline that.
It's okay. I know where you're coming from.
But this whole thing of I have to teach Alpha. I'm glad that what's her name is getting work.
What, Ariana Grande? Oh.
I just blanked.
Erivo. You're talking Michelle Yeoh. Oh, I thought you were talking about
Cynthia
Erivo.
No, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about Michelle Yeoh. So I'm glad she's getting work. I can't criticize her role.
She's been getting a ton of work, but she won an Oscar a couple of years ago for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And that's the name of that movie, right? Everywhere. Yeah.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Okay, got it. So she won an Oscar for that, so that kind of catapulted her. When she did, Crazy Rich Asians, that was a monster hit. You know, mm-hmm. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, 20 years earlier. That was a monster hit. But the Oscar, stratosphere.
Right.
But Cynthia Erivo, who plays Elzebub, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Elphaba.
I thought it was Elzebub.
Elphaba, like alphabet without the T.
Well, whatever. That's how much I care.
Yeah, it's still stupid. Yeah.
I like her. She's been in a few things that I actually like that she's done. She was in that show with Jason Bateman called The Outsider. It was a HBO miniseries. One season, one and done, based on a Stephen King novel. She was really good in it. Like, really, really good in it. One of the best things in that show when it came out.
And she's fine.
She's talented. And she is. And like I said, when they weren't singing, I did enjoy most of what I saw. I just don't like musicals. I'm not a fan of musicals. I'm sure if I got dragged to see Wicked, which it's been brought up a few times since it's been out, let's go see Wicked. And I'm like, all right, we can. And it just never happened.
When we talked about what film we were going to review first, we both agreed Wicked, because it was the least painful one to watch out of our choices.
Well, we also decided to review it or watch it before the nominations came out, because we were that sure it was going to get a nomination, and we were right.
Right. But out of the films we were that sure about, it was the least painful, is my point. So it's not like we were dead set against watching the film. We were like, okay, I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I had no problem watching this.
So I'm going to backtrack to Elphaba being the all-powerful.
The chosen one.
Yeah, she has y'all spark or something. So when Michelle Yeoh's training her and she puts the coin down, I'm like, okay, so she's Magneto. What the fuck is this?
It's telekinesis. It's not Magneto. She can move things with her mind.
But you're doing the exact same thing. I want you to move this coin. It's like, come on. Don't do this. Oh. And why is the sister in the wheelchair? What's the purpose of her being in the wheelchair?
Actually, that's why I was saying I don't know. Because in the beginning of Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's house falls on her. So, clearly that's the sister that's in this movie. And the sister...
Oh, is it?
It has to be. Dude, it has to be. She doesn't have another sister.
Honestly, I never even thought it. That didn't even occur to me.
Really? All right. Well, I'm glad I'm bringing it up. So in the beginning of Wizard of Oz, or not the beginning, it's like 20 minutes in, 25 minutes in.
You don't need to recap Wizard of Oz. We've all seen Wizard of Oz.
I'm just saying she goes through the, you know, the hurricane or cyclone, whatever you want to call it, tornado. And
the house lands on witch.
The house lands on a witch. And clearly the sister that's in this movie that's in the wheelchair is the witch that the house falls on in The Wizard of Oz.
How does she have any power?
Well, they're all going to this school, which is called Shiz, by the way. Shiz. Which, if you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, it means either shit. It either means shit or it means like something cool. But it's like, is that also in the book? Shiz?
I don't know. Probably.
It probably is, right? So that existed before it became an urban word in modern day society where it's like, man, you the shiz. It's just so fucking stupid. But if it came out before this movie came out and it's been around for a long time, whatever, it's been around for a long time. You know, shiznit. But it, whatever. Anyhow. So clearly, that's the sister the house falls on. Now, there is a scene in this movie where there is kind of not a love triangle, but the one Munchkin that's in love with Glinda. What?
It's a love. Like pentagon. Like everybody's in love with her.
Right. But this Munchkin's in love with. So what happens is Glinda sets up Elphaba, right? Alphaba, whatever it is.
Alphaba.
I thought it was Alphaba. E. The E is Alphaba. A strong E. What? Okay. The Wicked Witch of the West. Glinda, Ariana Grande, sets up.
Glinda.
She changes it to Glinda later. She sets up the Wicked Witches of the West's sister up with the Munchkin that's in love with her.
Bach.
And he realizes, he kind of looks over, he's like, you know what, she's way out of my league, I really like you, so, you know what, let's make this work. So the sister that is really, really happy about it, and he seems to be kind of happy about it, but then as the movie goes on, he's kind of got wandering eyes again for Glinda, and she has this face where she's...
Trust the Munchkin.
Where she sees that, and she angrily starts wheeling away in her wheelchair. And I have a feeling that that is the beginning of her going, you know, evil or wicked in that direction. And you'll see all of more of that in part two, which will then, you know, kind of bookend The Wizard of Oz.
Now, I do understand that there's also You could say one of the reasons that she's in a wheelchair is to have that whole thing where Elphaba's father blames her because he made the mother drink all this milkweed to try to prevent her from being green.
Right.
And that's what crippled her.
She was premature.
So that's what crippled her and killed the mother.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what they say. And I don't know if she'll be able to use her powers to get her to walk again. I have no idea what they're going to do there.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is I understand that that's a reason you could have to for the character, but she has so much shit already piled on top of her for the father hating her. I don't know why you need a reason besides, your mother was a whore and you're green because of it. So they have to put in now, on top of that she's also responsible for her mother's death because he made her drink. It's like too much. It's too much. As is the Holocaust on talking animals because, well, you need a good enemy. It's like it's the most pointless reason to have such a major plot point. I don't expect anything.
I mean, if the mother... I mean, if you really break it down, if the mother... cheated on him with someone and had a green...
And he kept drinking green stuff, yeah.
But why would
he
she...
He wasn't green.
No. Why
it
would
was the stuff they were drinking.
Well, you said the mother cheated, and that's why she was green.
She did. She did, but he wasn't green. The stuff they drank together when she was cheating was green.
Why would she drink the milk weed or whatever, that milk thistle or whatever it is? Why would
no
she even
idea.
Why would she drink because that? She knows it's not going to do anything.
She was a dirty whore. That's why.
Wow.
I don't know. It's the musical equivalent. I guess they couldn't make the guy green because then people would remember, hey, didn't you know a green guy too? So they had, it's some bullshit. I don't know. It's not for me.
It's not for you. Got it.
No. And it's part one.
It's part one. I had no idea it was part one.
Me neither. Until I was doing some research. Like, you tell, wait, what? It's only the first act? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they film both back to back, and the next film will come out next, like this Christmas or the Thanksgiving. It'll be out. And that second film will probably be nominated for Best Picture as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, the film itself is dedicated to pure spectacle, but on top of the spectacle, there's so much bloat in the story as well. It's unnecessary to have both so much going on top of elongated, meaningless dance routines. It's bloated. It's bloated. It's the only word I can think of.
Mm-hmm. No, you're
not
wrong.
It's like Megalopolis, but at least it's entertaining.
Oof. That is a fucking shitty movie.
Oh.
We're gonna have to
review that.
I mean, when did the Razzies come out?
Yes.
Is that all over the place? Megalopolis has to have a bunch of nominees. Yeah, of course.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that movie sucks.
Borderlands kind of swept.
I haven't seen Borderlands, and I still haven't finished Megalopolis. I still got like an hour left, 45 minutes. But man, it is not getting better. Megalopolis is actually getting worse as I watch it.
So,
here's the thing with Megalopolis. I know we're reviewing Wicked, but the thing with Megalopolis, and I think I texted this to you, Megalopolis is those like really low budget, you know, sci-fi dramas.
It's a sippy film. Yeah.
Yeah, that don't get the budget, but they still try and put, like, the big giant CGI special effects, and it's awful. They actually gave Francis Ford Coppola $100 or $150 million to make this thing. It's like a super high-budget sci-fi film, like sippy.
I thought he paid for it himself.
He paid for it all himself? What a
moron. Yeah, he sold his winery.
What a fucking moron.
Yeah, no, they didn't give him money for that. No, that's his money.
He is so dumb. I didn't know that. Francis, here.
All right, I got to dial it back.
I know. I enjoy your wine, dude. What's wrong with you? That is your family's inheritance. You went and spent it all.
We'll squeeze in a review of that at some point.
We have to.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, my closing line for Wicked is that like it's obviously an achievement as far as like visually what they did, but for a person who's not dialed into the musical scene, and there are musicals that I do like. I will make exceptions if the film's entertaining. I didn't like the music in this, and I didn't care. Stop dancing.
Well, yeah, don't expect. There's going to be dancing.
Not always. Doesn't have to be dancing.
There's going to be dancing.
It's just not. Now, I will be fair in rating this, though. I'm not going to give it a low rating and be a dick. When we rate it on IMDb, it's going to be a decent, but not great. What are you thinking? What are your final thoughts?
Well, let me bring it up. I want to say it's in the sevens, close to an
7.7.
Oh, geez.
I'd be happy with a 7.
I think 6 is too low. It's better than a 6. It probably it doesn't deserve higher than a 7. I'm good with a 7.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything special. They threw the money at it, and it looks beautiful. But story-wise, it's very, very flawed, and music-wise, Yeah, 7 it is. Right there.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think we were fair. Because, we didn't trash it.
No. And the thing is, it's, if let's say we gave it a 6, I think that that's way too low. Because, once you're in the 6 territory, it's an above average movie, and this is clearly better than that. So
let me say, I didn't care for the songs, but that's not to say I didn't care for the performances. The performances were fine.
Yeah. I don't know if Ariana Grande should be nominated for this, but who am I to say?
And real quick, what else is this nominated for besides Best Picture, since we're talking about it?
Yep, I'll bring it
up. I rated it 7.
Good. It's nominated for 10 Oscars. So the 10 are makeup and hairstyling, best achievement in music, original score.
Yeah, there you go.
Best sound, best visual effects, best picture, best actress in a leading role for Cynthia Erivo, best performance in a supporting role, Ariana Grande, best achievement in film editing, production design, and costume design. So I found out recently, or a few years ago, when Green Book came out, that the producers, they're the ones that decide what they're submitting for the categories. So even though Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande shared the exact same amount of screen time, like, it's literally the exact amount of screen time. I think Cynthia Erivo has maybe a couple of minutes longer. I mean, it's like, it's almost identical. They decided to pick Cynthia Erivo for Best Actress and Ariana Grande for Supporting, because it's all math. It's like, oh, the odds of this person winning for this category is greater, and the odds of this person winning for this category is greater. So, if they felt that Ariana Grande had a better shot at actress, they would have did it the other way around.
No, but Cynthia Erivo is the main character.
I know.
So she's the lead actress.
Not necessarily. No. If they felt that Ariana Grande, and this is what I'm getting at, if they felt Ariana Grande's performance was better and had a better chance at winning Best Actress, they would have nominated, say, both of them. They would have put both of them in the Best Actress nomination. But they know that mathematically that's not going to work because there's only 5 spots. I'm telling you.
I'm saying I would personally do more research on that before I agree.
You can do more. I've done the research on it.
I'm going to. I all right.
The movie studio production company decides who they're going to nominate.
Okay.
That's just the way it works.
Okay.
Because when Green Book came out,
mm-hmm.
Viggo, they nominated for Best Actor, and Mahershala Ali got Supporting. And if the way you're talking about it, Mahershala should have been the Best Actor, and it would have been the other way around.
Viggo was the main character. Viggo was the main character. His character arc.
Not really. No.
Yeah.
No. They felt
totally. It starts with him and it ends with him.
Yes, I understand. Okay. Do the research. They felt that Mahershala Ali had a better shot at winning Best Supporting Actor, and that's why he was nominated in that category.
I personally don't think they can just go willy-nilly and choose whoever they want as a lead actor, especially since they have contractual arguments over stuff like that. I can't see it being so.
No, they absolutely pick who they're... they're the ones that pick what categories are going to... Like, this actor, we're gonna push you for Best Supporting. That's how they do it.
All right.
Don't get mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. We're already taking too much time on this.
Okay. So are we done? Are we done then?
Yeah, we're done.
Are we going to pick?
Definitely done.
Okay. Are we going to pick the 2 movies next week? Now, or we're going to figure it out?
No. We'll figure it out before then. It'll be a surprise.
All right. So
that depends on what you're willing to watch, what I'm willing to watch.
But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it quickly when we're done with the show.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, let's go ahead and end this. All right. Episode 431, Oscar season has begun. This is one of 10 movies that we are reviewing for Best Picture. I know. I don't know. It's like the shortest film might be Anora. I think everything is 2 hours or more. go to our website at moviesectastic.com. You can listen to the show there, download the show there, and you can watch the YouTube stream that we just did by clicking on a single little button. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there as well. You can go to facebook.com/moviesectastic and see everything that we post. If you want to leave us email, it's themovieguys@moviesectastic.com. If you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. Download our podcast player at moviesectastic.com/mst.apk, or just download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic. We come right up. You can also do a search for Movie Sucktastic on the web, and it'll lead you. Every road leads to us. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Popular.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Me neither, but it's stuck in my head.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review two more Oscar movies. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hang in there.
Bye-bye.